We'll pray. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciples, that I may know how to sustain a weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your blessing. Lord, we so much desire your presence, not just in this place, but in our lives. And Lord, we just believe that in these last days, Lord, that you're going to come with just waves of your glory, waves of your presence. Lord, I know you're preparing your body for a move that's never been seen on this earth, nor shall be seen again. Lord, I ask that these that are here tonight, Lord God, would you be able to speak to their hearts and prepare them, Lord, for this move. I thank you, Lord, for the reports that I'm hearing already from those that have gathered here of words that have already come to pass and moves of power in their lives where they're reaching out and touching other people. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you've given us just a wonderful understanding of your love. Lord, for without your love, we are nothing. Lord, I thank you that you love us. I thank you, Lord, that your love is beyond understanding. And we just praise and we worship you in this place. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being here. We just ask you to manifest yourself whichever way you see fit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to be talking about the kingdom of God tonight. And I want to make sure that we're staying on course in terms of preparation for the next move of God, because we can talk about a lot of things here. We can go over a lot of different things and take different avenues, but my main thrust, my main desire is that you would be prepared, that nothing would surprise you, you know, and so that you'd understanding too that you're being properly positioned by the Holy Spirit in front of people every week, all the time. And some of you guys are really looking for breakthroughs just in your lives. And those breakthroughs come when you understand the kingdom of God and the power that's within you. And sometimes we think we know things and we believe things, but sometimes it's not down into our hearts. And so when we just declare things, there's no power in it because we haven't come to the place to really have an understanding of the kingdom of God in that realm. So anyway, in saying that, let me just go ahead and start. I'm in John 19, verse 33. It says, therefore, Pilate entered again to the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, are you king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, are you saying this of your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? And Pilate answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Therefore, Pilate said to him, so you are a king. And Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? It's interesting, you have a guy here, Pilate, who's probably seen so many people and could really determine if someone was telling the truth or not, probably. He probably knew people that were absolute criminals. And here they had the Lord Jesus Christ in front of him. And he says, I come to bear witness of the truth. And here Pilate goes, what is truth? He's asking him, a criminal that's about to be crucified, what is truth? And I just have always read that verse, and it's always kind of really stuck out to me that's something that the world is talking about right now. I mean, people really want to know what the truth is, because we're bombarded with so many things, you know, the news and things like that, that, you know, they call it fake news or fake this and fake that, and people are crying out, what is the truth? And we have the same thing going on in the church a lot of ways, you know, that people go to different places and things like that. And I just wonder sometimes if people are really in touch with what's going on right now, because if we're not preparing the body of Christ for the next move of God, I don't know what we're doing. Jesus said it would be just like the days of Noah, and Noah was building something, and Noah was warning. But in this time, and I want to go into this, in Matthew 24, Jesus starts to talk to his disciples here, and we've been in this chapter a lot, but let's go to it, Matthew 24. starting at verse 3. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us when these things will happen and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age." And so just to set a foundation here, they're asking about the end. They're asking about what's going to take place. They know, they recognize and realize that Jesus has those answers. And so they're asking them. I mean, you know, that'd be a question that I would ask, you know, especially, you know, because he was a prophet, he operated as a prophet, but he was the Son of God. But so, you know, I could see they're curious about it. And so Jesus answered and said to them, "See it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not the end yet. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom in various places, and there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs." And so Jesus is saying all these things are happening. It's like a woman giving birth. The contractions get stronger as it comes closer to the baby arriving. "Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name." I don't think they expected that. And they're hearing a lot of stuff maybe they didn't want to hear, but it happened and it's happening. "At that time, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Because of lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold." And we're seeing that take place to a degree in our country because, you know, if you stand for truth, if you stand for something that's, you know, there's all kinds of crazy things being said. And if you stand up against it, you know, people start coming at you and they start hurting your business and hurting this and hurting that. And then what it's caused is a lot of people aren't speaking out because there's lawlessness going on. Not just criminal type activity, although that's increasing. It's just the fact that people are just will get on top of you if you even say the truth. Now, in saying that, I'm not saying you all need to do that, okay? You need to speak the truth. You need to speak up. That's why you're here. I really do believe that the people that are gathering here are serious Christians. They really want to hear not just a word from the Lord, but they want to be imparted to, they want to be activated so that when you go out, things start to begin to happen in your lives and you really start to touch people. But I really want to hone in on this one thing here. Because lawlessness increased, most people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And then he goes, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." So Jesus is speaking about the end of days. And he leaves at the end of the message, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." Now, before he gets to this verse, he's talking about all kinds of deceptions, false prophets, you know, lawlessness and things like that. But the gospel of the kingdom needs to have an explanation. It needs to be defined because a lot of people don't know what that is. And if you don't know what it is, how can you go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom? Well, we know gospel means, you know, good news. But the kingdom is something that you need to understand because this is what you're going to be doing if you're not doing it already. Because when the move of God hits the earth and he pours out his spirit upon all flesh and your sons and your daughters prophesy and your old men dream dreams and all that what Joel talked about and says in the book of Acts, when all that stuff starts to come, you're going to be illuminated. Now, it might be seen on you or it might be internal, but it's going to be the call of God that comes upon your life that takes you to the next level, that takes you to the next place. Where your commitment goes way beyond what it is even now. If you really want it, I mean, if you really want all of God, if you want that, you're going to experience this. But that's part of the problem I see in the body of Christ. People don't really want it. They want to participate. They want to be part of something, but they don't want it individually. They don't look at Jesus and understand that he showed us not just the way to live, but also how to preach the kingdom of God. Because it hasn't changed since he released it. It's still the same today. So in saying that, let's move on to Matthew chapter 4. And at verse 23, and 24. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. It says, Jesus was going throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them all. So you have a situation here where Jesus is preaching the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is something that's taking complete dominion. Jesus isn't coming to take sides. He's coming to take over. That's what they were asking him. Is this the time where you come and restore everything back to the Father? Will you take over the earth? That's his kingdom. But the thing about it is here, about the kingdom of God, it has power attached to it. It has healings. It has casting out demons. It has all those things. And so when the kingdom of God is being preached through you or talked through you, there's signs that will follow you. That's what this next move of God is going to entail. Tremendous miracles are going to begin to occur in this earth. And they're going to happen all over the planet. It's not going to be localized, because God has seated strategically all over this planet, because he's a great general, a move of God that will usher in the end, because he wants everyone to hear the gospel. He wants everyone to be saved. That's his will. And so we partake in that. We're like the people that Jesus talked about, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Well, we're the workers. And if you really want it, if you really want it deep down in your heart, you will do everything it takes to become that warrior for God. And so let's just read on here. Let's go to chapter 9 in Matthew. Chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without the shepherd. Here we have another example of preaching the kingdom and healings and the power of God following it. It's very important that you understand that the power of God is within you. The power of God wants to move through you. And you can experience these things simply by believing and being sensitive to where God has positioned you, and to be ready to proclaim it, to be ready to pray, to be ready to like someone that's anticipating, you know, something that's really important to them. They're anticipating. Do you get up in the day and do you anticipate someone that needs ministry? You know, I'm working in my wife's candle factory, and there are people there that need ministry. I mean, this one guy is ex-military, and he's had post-traumatic syndrome and a whole slew of problems. He struggles with alcohol and different things, but he's listening. He sees a difference. He knows there's something different. And people are going to know there's something different about you, and they're going to get around you, and they're going to feel some peace. They're going to feel some hope. They're going to feel that, hey, you've got something that I need. And that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the real thing. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, we can only produce. The world can't produce joy only for a moment. The fruit of the Holy Spirit's eternal. You know, hope and joy and all these things that, you know, people, you know, are chasing after, that want to have security in their life. Security in this life is fleeting. You may have it one day and it may be gone, but security in God is eternal. Because really, what can come at us? There's nothing. If we get taken out, we go on. You see what I'm saying? What can really come against us? We make problems mountains that are really not mountains at all. And if you speak to the mountain, it'll move, as Jesus said. But we have to realize that, because all of that stuff that's coming at you and coming at me is nothing more than a distraction, trying to get our mind and get our heart off the kingdom of God, and to put it over here about the things of this world. I mean, Jesus said, I'll take care of your needs. I'll feed you. says he talked about the birds of the air and things like that, but yet we struggle at times. I'm not knocking you for that because I go through the same thing. But I have to reel myself back and go, you know what? I got to push all this away because I've got to do my mission. I've got to be focused on God. I can't allow myself to be distracted, you know, because when I get distracted, then that's when the stuff goes on in your head, worry and all this stuff, and, you know, that attacks you. And we all get attacked with that. But there's a difference when you're operating in the power of God. You may be attacked, but it's not going to penetrate you because you got the helmet of salvation on. It's not going to get through and wreck your life because you're going to recognize it as an attack, and you're going to come up against it. So anyway, but here you got another situation of Jesus preaching the kingdom and power occurring right after that. Matthew chapter 12. And I'm in verse 28. Actually, I'll start in verse 25. And knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to him, I love that. And knowing their thoughts. You know what? You can know the thoughts of people. That's called words of knowledge. That actually you can, you know, read. It's God that gives it to you. He can only look on the heart, but he also can give you words of knowledge. And I've experienced the same thing. I'll get into a room and I just know somebody doesn't like me. I don't know why they don't like me, but maybe they don't like me because I got the Lord in me, but I'll just know. Or I'll just know what somebody's thinking sometimes. Not that I want to know what they're thinking, because sometimes they're not thinking good things. But it's just, it's something that is part of your parameters of your anointing. You all can experience that. Come on in.
Amen.
Come on in. You can all experience that. Oh, that's my wife there. Thank you for showing up. I feel like I'm being supported. Thank you. Being impressed. She's had some sinus surgery, and it's not easy. So anyway, but. And knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he's dividing against himself, how then will his kingdom stand? If I, by Beelzebub, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? For this reason they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. There's another example of the kingdom of God and power. But the kingdom of God is about complete and absolute rule, complete dominion over everything. And so when he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, he's preaching about what is going to come on this earth. We just put out that the kingdom of God is not in this realm, but it will come into this realm. It actually, in a sense, is in this realm because he's in us and the Holy Spirit's here, but not to the dimension when Jesus returns. And so I just want to encourage you. That's another example of power in the kingdom of God. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're at verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. It says here, the Apostle Paul is talking, for the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. So it's all about the power of God. And see, the thing that really irritates me about the church and America, and I'm not speaking about every church, is they don't ever talk about the power of God, and nobody moves in the power of God. People come in sick and they walk out sick. People come in with their disturbed minds and they walk out sick. It's not that the messages aren't good, it's just there's no power in it. And the reason why there's no power in it, because the guy up front either doesn't believe it or doesn't want to preach it because he won't get a bunch of people. They've watered down the word of God. And we're living in a day where we got to have it right. We have to have this thing right. We got to study the scripture. And don't even take anything that's come out of my mouth. You judge it. We're supposed to do that. We're supposed to be accountable. That's why I like recording messages, because if I do give a word or I get a word of knowledge, I have to be accountable for that. If it doesn't happen or if it's not correct, then there's a record of it and I can be corrected, or you can stone me. One or the other. Just start out with those little ones, amen. I can't imagine what that's like, being stoned. I mean, maybe the Apostle Paul knows here. Were they big stones, little stones, or did they take the big rocks, or did they sell the stones down the street, or people just brought their rocks? Were people just participating in the stoning just because they liked it, or were they really concerned about what took place? I mean, the mind just wonders about stoning. Anyway, let's move on here. Don't stone me unless I need it. Anyway, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 4 and 5. There's Apostle Paul talking here, and he said, "My message, my preaching, were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." This is what separates it right there. That's the separation. You got the wisdom of men, but then you have the power of God. And the power of God is the demonstration. It is the affirming Jesus, affirming that he is in our midst. If there's no power, there's no presence, then what do we have? No. Just words. Yeah. Just words.
Chaos.
That's right. Chaos. "And my message, my preaching, were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." See, there needs to be a demonstration of the Spirit. That's another thing I have a bone to pick with the churches. There's no demonstration. How in the world are we going to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit if there isn't a demonstration? Now, I guarantee it can happen in the church, but I will tell you, it's not just here. I want to see it out there. So as God is imparting to you here, and he is, and some of you are getting messages. Some of you preachers are getting messages. You're getting things like that because the anointing is here. It's imparting into you. It's not just hearing words. It's something that God is operating inside of you, because that anointing that permanently dwells in you is be illuminated inside of you, and it is teaching you and it's activating you. And there are things that God is putting inside of you that you won't even know probably till a week later or whenever. That's how the Lord moves. And years ago, when I went to meetings where there were these prophets and things like that, I watched them. I watched how they were. I knew they were legit because the things they were saying were actually accurate in the person's life, and I could see the fruit. But as I watched it, there was something that God was doing to me and imparting to me that I was completely unaware of. But my thoughts were, I could see how this could really help people. Those are my thoughts. But what I didn't know is the Holy Spirit was paying attention to my thoughts, because he can read my thoughts, and he was preparing me for ministry like that. Not that I asked for it, it's just something that was inside of me. You see, God meets the desires of your heart. If the desires of your heart are God's heart, then your desires are going to be met. It's not that he doesn't want to give us stuff and desires that we have, because he does. But when we make desires of our heart, those desires of his heart, it's what I've been saying about David. What God wanted most to happen in Israel was the same thing that David wanted the most. He wanted to take Jerusalem and restore the ark and restore the presence of God in its rightful place. And so because he had that desire, God called him beloved, a man after his own heart. And it's just amazing to me how when you come in line with that, it'll change your life. It'll revolutionize what's going on inside your life. And things will take on a whole different meaning. And when you read the word and you spend time in prayer, the anointing will come upon you and your whole day will be so much different. You ever go into work and you just got something in front of you and you got a big thing of work and you got to do this and you got to do that and work's just on your brain and you know, I got to go in and, you know, type thing. But it's different when you come in prayer. It's different when you come in with the anointing. It's different because you realize this job is more than a job. The Lord is training me here. And he's teaching me here. And I want to sit there and bear his image to everybody that is around me. So they get encouraged and they want to come to you and they want to hear what's inside your heart. And all kinds of things wonderful can happen. But it's when we're on the job. And one of the things that I like about you all is that I think you're serious Christians, but I think you understand that it's more than just coming to church. It's more than just taking a few days in prayer. It's more than just, you know, being activated one day that you're aware of it. It is a 24, 7 days a week type thing. And that when we're aware of it, it just makes things so much easier. Because, you know, and I know that many of you in here, you've been asking for the wisdom of God. You've been praying for the wisdom of God, of how to implement things that God might be saying to you. But the wisdom of God doesn't come by accident. It comes by faith. And believing that he will give that to you when you ask him. I mean, because when you ask the Lord for wisdom, it's like, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll give it to him. Maybe I won't. Let's see if he can earn it. And that's the problem. That is the snare. Enemy wants to get you to a point where you're trying to earn it. If he can get you to try to earn it, it will short circuit you. And not only that, what you're trying to earn and what you're trying to stop will not stop because you can't earn it. Sometimes the power of God and the grace of God is the only thing that you have to get you out of a rut or to put you in the place that you really want to be. But if the enemy can get you to a point where you can earn, you want to earn it, he will attack you with guilt. He will attack you with shame. He will use those tools to neutralize your ministry. And I see it all the time. I pick it up in people a lot, you know, because I struggle with the same thing. These things are not like we are not going through it. And one of the things that bothers me about preachers sometimes is they don't say enough of that. I have a role, I have a position like anybody else. It's not any more important than anybody else's. It's just a function. And so we need to be honest and transparent about, we got to be honest about some of the struggles that we go through so that we can relate to the body of Christ. It's hard to relate to somebody that doesn't go through the same things that you go through. Now, I don't have the same experiences, but sometimes it's hard to relate. But when you can relate, like people related to Jesus, and to realize that he was there to help, he was there to build, he was there to save, he was there to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he was there, and that's why he was manifested. And you know, there's no reason why he can't manifest his, well, he's here right now, but why he can't manifest himself. I mean, he appeared to people 500 at one time. I know people that have had experiences like that. Why not? I would love to have that. I'd love to sit down here and, yeah, we just listen to him teach. You know, these disciples had, 3 years of him? It was Jesus preaching Jesus, and doesn't get any more anointed than that. Amen? What an awesome thing. I don't even know if I read this scripture or not. I don't think I did. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. Did I already get that one? 1 Corinthians 12:1-7. No, I'm in, okay. Yeah, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware, other scriptures say ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. So there's the enemy leads, by the way. He tries to lead. He also drives, but he tries to lead. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works in all things and all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So everyone has a manifestation. I'm not going to go into the gifts of Spirit tonight, and I will though. But to each one is given the manifestation of Spirit for common good. So you have a manifestation of the Spirit of God. You really, really do. And there's some things that maybe you haven't experienced yet, but that manifestation is inside of you. And the reason why it hasn't been released is probably because of fear, or you don't know if it's any going to work. I mean, you know, I practiced on people. I did. I mean, I went to prayer groups and prayed over people, and, you know, and whatever I thought I heard, I'd say. And then, you know, there was a response and knew that it was right. And then I, you know, just continued on. But picking people out of the crowd was a whole different thing. But you are in crowds all the time. And so am I. We go out there, we're in crowds. Pick a person out of a crowd. Make a beeline towards them. And you're going to find out that God had already prepared that person for you. That was a work prepared before the foundation of the world that you might walk in it. I like that word might because many people don't. But if you go through your day and you aren't aware and you haven't turned on that anointing, that manifestation that's inside of you has nowhere to go. It just stays inside of you. You've got to realize that you have gifts for other people. And sometimes they'll receive it and sometimes they won't. And if they don't, it's not personal. You just put it back on the truck like a UPS guy. And you're just a delivery girl or delivery boy. You just deliver the goods, amen? But you are filled up with the Holy Spirit tonight. You are filled up. You have a manifestation. You have somewhere to explode the things of God. You contaminate the atmosphere with the presence of God. When you're aware of it, and when you pray, and when you allow it to move, and you have to allow, it seems strange, but we have something to do with it. And then you have the manifest presence of God, where He manifests in a corporate meeting or when you're grilling out or something like that. I mean, the Lord just comes to me in the strangest places. I mean, I won't even be aware, and all of a sudden He's just there. And I don't share everything that He says. I don't. I mean, I just don't. I keep things to myself. If He has me, if He's speaking to me, I don't just go around saying, well, God said this and God said that. I don't share all my dreams. But if the Lord tells me to do that, I will. So just when God starts speaking to you, sometimes you have to ponder it in your heart and figure out what it is He's actually saying and what He is actually asking of you. Sometimes He speaks to you and He's trying to refine you, like as He is a refiner fire, and He's trying to turn up that fire to bring about a more refined individual in the things of God, especially when you want to be a vessel of honor. It says, whoever cleanses himself from these things shall be a vessel of honor. But I don't know about you, but I start to realize that I have asked the Lord for a clean heart. I've asked that for Him. I've read it. I got it on my mirror. I want that in my life. I don't assume that I've arrived. I don't assume that I have a necessary clean heart. I want one, but how am I going to get one if I don't ask for one? And why am I asking? Am I asking for me or am I asking for you? You see, some people are counting on you to get it. You've not met them, you've not seen their faces, but they're counting on you to get it. You might be the only Bible they ever read. Have you heard that before? And so I just want to encourage you. You've got it. You've got the power of God inside of you. And you have the ability to go from this place and to touch people's lives this week and change their courses. That's the thing about a word. It will change the course. My sister was sharing something about, it was a lady here that owned, actually I went to her salon years ago. There was another person that cut my hair, but she owned it. And apparently, since she received that word, she's been on fire for God, sharing the word, just going nuts. Well, you know, the word was given to her, but it wasn't just a word. There was power in it. And it wasn't power from me. It was power from Him. And you have that same thing that can happen through your mouth that can change a person's life. And see, this is the gospel of the kingdom we have to start to preach. It's a gospel of power. It's a gospel of dominion. It's a gospel where Jesus comes and completely takes over the earth. And it's rooted in power. Even Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, how will we distinguish from all the other peoples on the earth? And this is what distinguishes you. You have Jesus inside of you. You are filled up with the Holy Spirit. And you have the ability to move and to release the word of the Lord through you to people that are around you. You know, you don't have to go up and say, thus says the Lord. You don't have to say that, you know. I just said, you know, I just feel like the Holy Spirit's saying. I just try to do something where, you know, it makes it more, a little bit more palatable for the person. And not only that, I see a lot of people, thus says the Lord, and God isn't talking that way. And if He did, He's crazy. You know, and God's not crazy. But sometimes people get so caught up on the other spectrum, they get so caught up in the gifts and this and that, all that the only place they'll operate in is in a church or in a gathering or in a conference. But this isn't what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth. And when we realize this, I mean, we really get a hold of this. When this move of God, which is already here, in these next 3 years, we're going to see something. We're going to be sent to these people that don't even know whether a man, can't tell the difference between a man and a woman. I mean, just all kinds of crazy stuff. Where do you think that stuff comes from? It comes from the pit of hell. And Jesus said, the church, and Jesus called it a rock, and the gates of hell should not prevail against the church or hold out against it. That speaks of a church that's pressing in on hell, that realizes its mission on the earth. And once our mission is completed, we get out of here. But we're not done yet. I know we're not done. I know it in my heart. Anyway, let's read on here. I got one more scripture. And this is the kingdom of God is in the book of Psalms too. He talks about it. I'm in Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verse 10. Psalm 145, verse 10. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of your glory, of your kingdom, and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout generations. And so here's David, you know, just putting out what Jesus is talking about. I love the way this reads. They shall speak of your glory, of your kingdom, and talk of your power. That's got to be the talk. The talk has to be about the power of God. The power to change an individual. You look at your own life. How many people have been changed by the Lord? How many people in here have been changed by God? You're not the same that you were 10 years ago, 5 years ago. He's changed you. And that change doesn't stop. A lot of people have stopped the progression of being refined. Not that they think they've arrived, they just have kind of maintained. But you need to press in to the next place, to the next level. You know, in my sport in diving that I coached, we have the 1 meter, the 3 meter, the 5 meter, the 7.5 meter, and then the 10 meter. And then the real crazies went up 80 feet. You know, but there's different levels. And sometimes you have to, I wouldn't use the word master, but you have to complete the levels before you go to the next level. And sometimes, and I've used this since, sometimes, you know, we stay on this mountain. God says you dwell on this mountain long enough, not because you have a problem, but because he's taking you to the next mountain, the next level. And, you know, that scripture was talking about the Israelites and maybe some problems that they had, but I really felt like the Lord was teaching me something about people are just on the same mountain. They haven't progressed. They haven't gone any further. They've just stayed in the same spot. And so we need to be challenged and to realize that God wants to take us to the next level. Because if all my athletes, they just sat there and stayed on the 1 meter and that's all they ever did, they're never going to get to the next level. Not only that, they can't compete in the big game. And so we have to realize that there's something coming on this earth that we want to be a part of. We don't want to be sitting. We don't want to miss the train. We don't want to be on the bench. We want to be activated. And that should be burning inside of you, because that is the move of God that's on the horizon. There's a burning inside of our spirit right now. We cannot maybe identify it, but we know that it's there. We know that there's something coming. You know, Thursday night it was a few Thursdays ago, the Lord got me up. I think it was around 2 o'clock, and I think I prayed till about 4:30. And I knew that I was interceding for something, but I wasn't quite sure what it was as I was praying in the Spirit. But then all of a sudden, the Lord told me to stop and listen. And I heard a train coming. And just started hitting the toot, you know, every time it hit the crossing. And you may not think that's nothing, but to me, it ministered to me because something's coming down and there's got to be an alarm sounded. And you are the alarm. You are the warning. You know, it was God was pretty strong with a lot of these prophets. He said, if you don't warn, then the blood was on their hands. That's pretty strong. I'm not sure that it's changed that much or if it changed at all. So if you know something's coming and you don't warn people, then are we really Noahs? Now, some people aren't going to listen, but there'll be some that will. But we've got to warn them. We've got to warn them. There's something coming on this earth. The things are about to unravel very quickly and faster than we know. And we just have to understand that we have a role. It's not a time to panic and it's not a time to fear. It's a time to glorify God because he's coming back to this earth and he's coming back soon. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this realm, but he will come into this realm. And when he does, he's going to take over. Now, a lot of people will be caught up in the air, and you know, a lot of people believe that, a lot of people don't believe that, but regardless of what you believe about the rapture, the key is you stick to your mission. You just stick to the mission, because until he comes back, we're to be working. Amen? Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. I want to give you, brother here, I want to give you a word of encouragement. You know, I just see a tremendous storm. Yes, I see you in a storm, and it's been, you know, like it's almost like a hurricane storm. And, you know, Jesus took his disciples across the lake, you know, and a storm came down the lake. I don't know if you know the story. And they all thought they were going to drown because they were experienced, fishermen experienced on the ocean or Sea of Galilee or wherever they were.
I've been a fisherman before.
I know. Well, let me finish here. So, but I'm trying to say is that they were going across and the storm came at them. But wonder what Jesus said before he said, let's you and me go over to the other side. So it didn't matter if there was a storm. It didn't matter if there was a hurricane. It didn't matter if they had to go on like a submarine. They were going to get to the other side because it was the word of the Lord. And you know, when he sat there and they woke up, you know, they were asleep in the boat and they woke him up and he goes, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Why, you know, they watched all the miracles, they were exposed to all the teaching, and all of a sudden, when the storm came, they threw their, you know, this isn't a time for religious, Jesus, bail the boat. You know what I mean? They couldn't get their mind around the fact that the power of God could stop this storm. And I want to encourage you that God's going to put a word in your mouth, and he's going to put a plan in your mind to take you out of this storm. Because you have a call upon you, brother. It's an evangelistic call. I'm not calling you an evangelist. I'm calling you an evangelistic call. That you will reach out to other people and you're bold. You don't care what other people say about you. You passed that a long time ago. Amen. And now you're in a position now where you'll just say it the way it is. But God wants to get you out of this storm. Amen. There's a discipline that the Spirit of God is going to place in your life. You're going to be streamlined by the wind and the fire of God. It says he baptizes us in the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, I don't know if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you're going to experience it. Amen. That fire is going to start to burn, and it's going to cause just a real streamline in your life. God's blessing you, brother. He is blessing you, and he loves you. He loves you. And you know what? Sometimes you get before the Lord and I see weeping. I see tremendous weeping at times. And he's come to you. He's going to heal that broken heart. Amen? He's going to heal you totally. And you're going to remember it. Remember the events. But it's going to be like it was 1,000 years ago. Amen? Does that mean something to you?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. God is so good. My brother back there, would give you a word of encouragement. Amen? You know, there's a steadfastness I see in your life. I also see like an engineer's mind. You know, God has illuminated you where you're brilliant. You're just brilliant. And you think in terms of logic and stuff like that, and just it really has done you a lot of good. But But the wisdom of God, the word of wisdom, I see coming through you and flowing through you. The word of wisdom that God is going to give you is the practical application of a word of the Lord. And you're going to hear the word of the Lord, but you're going to apply it because you have the word of wisdom. And you're going to give words of wisdom to other people many times. They have had difficult problems, relationship problems. You're not a marriage counselor, but you're going to be sent to people who have marriage issues. And you're going to speak a word of strength, a word of release. And God is going to use you in that arena. So I just want to encourage you, you know, that word of wisdom is so much inside of you. It's bubbling up. And you say to yourself, why me, Lord? You know, this seems very significant, because you are significant. You're not insignificant. Enemy has tried to tell you that, but he's a liar. You're very significant. And all, just remember this. I talked about the desires of the heart in terms of making them Lord's. But there's another desire of the heart that you have, that you put before him, and he's preparing it for you. He's preparing, as he is preparing you for it. Amen? And you have to realize that. When you realize that you're being prepared and someone else is being prepared, then just know this, God will bring it to pass. Amen? God is so good. Does that mean something to you?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God is so good. Praise the Lord. I'd just like to get the people that I don't know. Hey, have I given you a word before? I think they've had a word every week. Amen. God is so good. I just want to give you a word of encouragement. Again, God is so good. You know, I just see you like there's a rock, and there's a big ocean around. And this ocean's like you're in the ocean, and you get thrown up on the rock, and you realize, like, hang on to this rock. I'm going to be okay. And then the ocean takes you back out again, then you get back up on the rock, because you know that that is your foundation. And God is taking you back to your foundation. And the reason being is he's doing a work inside of you, because he's preparing you for what I talk about, this move of God. You so much want to be a part of it. I mean, you want it. You aren't kidding around. You aren't playing around. In fact, it really irritates you when you see people playing around and not really being serious. So I just want to encourage you that rock, that's your foundation, okay? And if when you stay on that foundation, when the storm hits, even though the storm's hitting you, you're going to be fine, because that's your foundation. And so I just want to encourage you that I thoroughly believe the Lord wants me to tell you that you have the right foundation. You have what it takes to endure this. You have what it takes to persevere through this. And you're going to get to the other side, because after you've done the will, you don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. After you've done the will of God, you will receive what is promised. Amen? You're such a blessing to so many people. You have been there. You've sacrificed. You've walked the walk. Amen? And if someone's down that you know of, you will pray for them. You will go and talk to them. You're completely committed to that healing ministry that you have. Amen? And you do have a healing ministry. You're going to lay hands on the sick, and they're going to recover. You're going to lay hands on the sick, and they're going to recover. Just know that, even if it's a week, even if it's 2 weeks, even if it's a year, they're going to recover. And you can start to have faith in that. And when that starts to move, you start to have this faith in the Lord that he will perform it. If he's directing it, and he's directing you to a person, he will perform it. And that's what I have great confidence in that. Then when the Lord moves through an individual, you get great confidence, just like Paul talked about. I didn't come to you with wise words. I came in demonstration of the Spirit of God. And that is what you want. You want to see that demonstration. You are a demonstration. Amen? God is so good. I want to encourage you. Amen? God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, you're going to see things that you've longed to see. There's a longing inside of you. And there's a place in God that is like a yearning. It's like you want something that you haven't yet seen. And it emanates out of you. It projects to the Lord. It's like a prayer that is said, but it's an unsaid prayer. And that the enemy tries to do to you many times, he tries to position you where you try to earn because of everything that you know. So he uses the knowledge of God against you as a weapon. And so now that you know that, it's going to just take that all apart. It's going to dismantle this whole assignment.
and you're going to be free to move. I see you in such freedom, in such a clean, clear word, pure water. God wants to gush out of you, and he's going to make of you rivers. You're not going to just flow one way. You're going to flow many different ways, and you're going to realize that the Lord is going to bring you to the place, whatever the need is, whatever the word that has to come out, is going to come out. This is a river, even if it's a river you've never been in. Even if it's something you've never, ever done, God is going to move you into that. He's going to take you out of your comfort zone, and he's going to put you right on the edge. It's like being on that platform, okay? Because now you're going up the 10 meter. You're at the top now. And you won't know that you're there. You won't know that it's going to work until you step off of it. And then your training and the faith that you have will come into play, and you're going to land right where you should land. God is all over you. He is all over you, brother. And he wants to encourage you tonight that you're going to leave from this place a new man, a new understanding. And this thing that has harassed you, is in the name of Jesus Christ, I break its power over your life. And just know this, that Paul, and I know your name's Paul, you know, he was resisted because of what he knew. And the knowledge that you've got, that you've obtained over the years, is going to be on display. But it's going to come forth in the purity of the river of the Lord inside of you. Amen. God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. My sister here, I just want to encourage you. I don't know if you teach or whatever like that, but I see the word teacher on you. And God is one that has been taught. And I just see a lot of information that you've gathered over the year, and you know a lot of things about the God, about the Lord. But also you have a gift of discerning of spirits. And what I mean by that is you're going to begin to start to see in the realm of God, into the realm, and see discerning of spirits. And the reason being is that you know who's authentic and who's not. They can't fool you, and you can't stand lies. Yeah, and so the lies that have come, I mean, I just see, you're a sweet lady, but man, if you lie to you, boy, it's on. The sword comes out, the head gets lopped off, you know? That's just the way that it is. And so this teacher that's inside of you, God is birthing here tonight. Because there's going to be platforms, and they may home groups, or may, I don't know what they're going to be, but they might just be one-on-one or whatever, but the teacher's going to come out. And when the teacher comes out of you, it's going to have a word of direction, a word of peace. And you're going to teach people how to walk in the peace of God, that peace beyond understanding. Because people are losing it all around you. I mean, they're just losing it. And you're the only voice in their life that's going to bring them back into peace. So just recognize that gift of discerning the spirits. You're going to start to see into the realm. I don't know if you're going to see angels or what it is that you're going to see. It may be come forth in dreams. I really don't know. It's not really up to me. I just see that strongly. And the reason why that gift is needed, because of the people that are around you. And the Holy Spirit can do many different things. He chooses to give the gift. But I just see that in your life. Amen. Does that mean something to you? Praise the Lord. God is so good. I think I'm done. I haven't said anything to you in a while, have I? What do you say?
Good evening.
Good evening. Praise the Lord. You know, that word, not time to retire, it's time to refire, you know? But you have a fire of God just burning inside you. You know, the relationship you have with the Lord is very intimate. You've learned that over a period of years. And you're hearing things that you've wanted to hear, and you're hearing them. But there's an impartation that's taking place at the same time. God is going to speak to you very specifically to go to certain places. Like, it's like, go up to the Walmart. There's going to be a person there. You remember how he said that to to Philip or whatever? Go over here. He was translated or whatever. I'm saying he's going to give you some specific missions like that. You're going to hear it. And it's not like a wild thought. This is something you got to go do because you have the experience. That prophetic, that prophet that's inside of you has got to be released. And not only that, and I see you crying out, even in the wilderness, in the places like, you know, you can go out and prophesy just out here, nobody be around, but God watches over his word to perform it. Nobody has to be around because he is the one that does it. And I see some of the things that you want to see take place. And I'm telling you tonight, God says, prophesy. Begin to start to prophesy again. There's a stirring inside of you. And you know, it's not that you've been dormant, it's just there's a volcano inside of you that's about to erupt. I mean, it is right there, and it's about to erupt. You have a part to play in these last moves of God. You really do, because there's an accuracy where you know the scripture, and you know when people are deviating from it. Unfortunately, I don't know if it's unfortunate, if that's even a proper word to use in the church, but I'll tell you what, you're going to be called to straighten people out. And it's not going to be easy, but I'll tell you what, God is going to give you the right temperament and the right words to speak to them, because they're in error. Whether they receive it or whether they don't, you deliver the word. Amen? God is all over you. You know, the anointing that's on you is very strong. You don't realize it maybe, but when you come to these gatherings, you help it out. Because there's things that are being said that you've longed to hear. And you know that they're right. And you can say yes and amen. If two or more gather together, he is in the midst. If two or more agree, it shall be done. You keep bringing your agreement in here because it means a lot. Amen. Is that right? Amen. God is so good. Well, praise the Lord. We went a little bit long. Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight, Lord. I just ask that your presence would go with each and every individual. Lord, that what's been said here tonight would resonate within their hearts. It would go deep within their spirits. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that we're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. We're going to believe in the power of God. We're going to allow ourselves to be used by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we're going to see the manifestations that you've given each one of us to touch different people this week, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.